If you're here today and you don't feel like you have strength for today, a bright hope for tomorrow, I've got good news for you. We have a faithful God. And that's in the sermon today. Hey, I want to start by thanking all of you who are part of the McKinney First, the choir, and the band and orchestra team. I mean, Carrie Madison for leading us out today. To the leaders and servants, the ushers and deacons that are here today helping to lead and serve, to my friend, Pastor Lewis Rosenthal, and to the Roux and his gumbo. Yes. The First Lady of the McKinney First Baptist Church is with us in the room today. Yes, we are so blessed to have you with us also today, Miss Rosalind. I want to tell you how we got to what we're going to talk about today. When we were meeting together, asked Pastor what God had laid on his heart, and he said, let's talk about revival. And he said it in a way that I wish I could, actually. He said, revival for our survival. And so as I started to pray over where would God lead me, I found myself in Psalms 85. If you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn to Psalms 85. I'm going to have you stand and read it with me in a moment. Not yet. Because in Psalms 85, we read in Psalms 85, Lord, will you revive us again? And so I had looked at this passage and I had looked at a few other passages, and then I found out on Monday, Pastor said, we didn't tell each other this, what passage are we going to teach? He said, I'm going to preach out of Psalms 85. And I'm like, this is awesome. And then I had the opportunity to go over and see what God is doing right now at the facility, and the church is much more than a facility, y'all know that, right? But the building that is the McKinney First Baptist Church, and God is doing a great work in the facility. There's a remodel that is happening there that is really exciting for me to see. They have remodeled the gym and a lot that's around it there, and now it's a worship center for them as they are remodeling their worship center, which is going to be super exciting. And one of the things that I saw there is they now have, he showed me, and beautifully done new food pantry and clothing ministry and as he was showing me around this place, he quoted over me what Jesus said to those who would be his sheep. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. And as I was watching that and seeing how exciting it is to see what God is doing there, I was then turned again to this passage of Psalms 85, and I was reminded of the context of this passage. Most, in fact, tradition for Psalms 85 is that this was a psalm written by, and we have probably in your Bible, Songs of Korah, not David, but these were the worship leaders. We were just led by the choir. The choir is going to preach to us through God's word this morning. The worship leaders that were part of leading worship after the people of Israel had returned from 70 years in captivity in Babylon. And they were working on a renovation project in Jerusalem of the temple. And as I saw that, I thought, oh my goodness, like, First McKinney's got a renovation project right now that we're working on with our facility, our youth ministry building, and the McKinney is seeing this exciting work of a renovation project. And God, during this time, he speaks to his people about more than just something going on in our facility, something that would go on in our heart. And he talks about revival. What is revival? Well, I don't know if you're like me. When I was growing up, I went to a church that had revivals. And I thought revivals specifically were like a programmed event by a church that would happen every night of the week. And that was a revival. Now, I think God did bring revival at times through those kind of events, but actually I was outside playing volleyball with the other kids. Revival in Scripture is a spiritual renovation. It's a spiritual renovation. And so I'm going to title my talk specifically, and again, my role is to kind of set Lewis up for second hour so he can crank it out of the park in the second hour. I'm going to title my talk, The Blueprint for Spiritual Renovation. And I'm praying that God would do this in my heart. So in order to honor God's word, I'm going to invite you to stand. Psalms 85, starting in verse 1. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored renovation, the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back in folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. And now I want to invite you, if you're comfortable and able, to either sit down or even get on your knees. And then I'm going to pray one more time. Father, we need strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. But we are an unfaithful people. Apart from you doing something supernatural, am spiritually dead. As I pray, I'm going to invite you to pray. I don't know in your life right now, maybe where you might be feeling like you need spiritual renovation. Would you ask the Spirit of God to help me and to speak to you through his word right now? Holy Spirit, exalt your Son, help your bride, the church, for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. If you like to take notes in a sermon, again, titling the talk, Blueprint for Spiritual Renovation. The first thing that I want to show you in the text is that if you want to renovate your heart and your life, I want to invite you to do what has happened for so many who have seen God change them from the inside out, to study the builder's history of renovation. To study the builder's history of renovation. What we see in the story that I'm going to invite you into through this great psalm is that the people of Israel, when they went back to renovate the land, they found the Bible. There was a man by the name of Ezra who taught it to the people. And you can go to Nehemiah 8 and 9 and read about this. Actually, Zerubbabel was the first to come back. I was actually taught growing up this way, and it helped me remember. The trouble with Zerubbabel was Jerusalem was in rubble. So Zerubbabel came back and he started trying to renovate the building, but they needed something else. And God sent Ezra, and Ezra started to study the word of God and to teach it to the people. And Nehemiah 8 and 9, they actually stand for the reading of God's word like you just did for half a day. And they read the word of God over the people, and they hear about how God had done. Let me read the words now, starting in verse 1. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the word there, key word in our text. It's going to show up again. You turned them around. You brought them back. You renovated their hearts. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquities of your people. I want to stop here for just a second because we read just now your land and your people. And for me, in my life, I made a mistake for a long time reading the Old Testament. When I would read your land and your people, in my mind, that was the same thing as the United States of America. When we read the promises of God in the Old Testament, we know from the New Testament, in fact, Peter even tells us specifically that the people of God, now through the blood of Jesus, is his bride, the bride of Christ. And the promises of God that were given to the people of God in the Old Testament don't go just to the United States of America. They go to the church of Jesus Christ that is all around the world. And so the great equal sign to the people of God in the Old Testament goes to the church of God in the New Testament. So he's talking about his people, and that's us. The McKinney First McKinney, those of you who know what he is talking about here, that we have a builder who has a history of doing great restoration. They were reading about, again, they were reading about the stories of Jacob, and they go on to say, you forgave. What did they forgive? They had the Bible, and they were reading that the people of Israel came out of the wilderness, and they were delivered from slavery in Egypt, and when they went to Mount Sinai, they started worshiping a golden calf. But God didn't get rid of all of them. He was somehow able to be merciful and forgive. And then they read about the story of the judges. You read 8 and 9. This is what they do in Nehemiah 8 and 9. They're reading about the story of judges where they would rebel. And then God, because he loves his children, would discipline them. But they would repent and God would forgive them and allow them access back to him. They were reading, again, if you go with me, again, you forgave, verse 2, the iniquity of your people. You covered their sin. You withdrew all their wrath. You turned from your hot anger. God, they said, they notice as they look and study the text, this God has a history of restoration. They see it in the text. Now, for us, we don't just have the first few books of the Bible. We see where all of this led. And not only did he offer forgiveness to the people of Israel, for God so loved the world, he's given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. In an effort to be abundantly clear, one of the things that we have tried to do here at First McKinney over the last few years is to just try to put the gospel, the good news of Jesus, into some clear words. And so I'm going to read it to you, and it will be here. Actually, I'm not going to read it. I think I know it, okay? Here's what we know now through the New Testament, that there is a real kingdom, right? And a real king. His name is Jesus. That's right. He is the Christ. That's the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, the Son of God. And guess what? He didn't come just to wipe out all the sinful people like me. You know what he did? In his love, by his grace, he came. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for my sin and yours, our rebellion. He rose again, and he's coming back. We know this to be true, right? So what do we do in response? Well, if you want to experience the spiritual renovation, you respond to what he has done. It's not you that we can't renovate our hearts. We have that. Again, this is just fun in the text. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. There's a repeated word. You, 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 you. And let me just, that's not talking about you. They are talking to God. Yes. He is the one that can renovate our hearts when we respond to his message. Repent, believe, follow him. We get to be part of this kingdom now and forever. The kingdom of God to all of his people. This is the good news. We get to, like they did, if you want to experience spiritual renovation, study the builder's history of restoration. FYI, if you want to just study revival in the history of the world, revival in the history of the world, you can look at Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Nehemiah 8 and 9, they listened to the word of God. You can look at the great Reformation. You can go back and look at the Protestant Reformation, the Great Awakening. There was a group of people studying the builder's history of renovation and seeing what Jesus has done for us, and a God that loves and restores people to life. Study the builder's history of restoration. Second thing that we'll see here in the text is they don't just study and see God did that in the past. They cry out to God and they ask him to do it again in the present. They plead, here's the words I'll use, they plead with the builder to revive again. They see the stories of a God through his son, now we get to see, redeems, and they cry out to God through prayer, urgent prayer, for God to do it again. Read our words now, starting in verse 4. Restore us again. Now we read the word restore in verse 1. Restore in verse 1, though, was past tense, talking about what they were finding out about as they studied this book. Restore now in verse 4, and all the way from verse 4 through verse 7 now is going to be a request. It's going to be not, hey, look what you did. It's going to be, God, do it again. Do it again. Restore us again, O God of our salvation. And put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Can I just say here real quick? Again, they were crying out to something, for something. In this first part, I believe, that we now see more fully, that he will not be indignant with his people forever because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He will not be angry with his people forever. He does not look at you with an angry face if you know who Jesus is. Your sin is forgiven. He does not prolong his anger to all generations. He put all of it on his son Jesus on the cross for you and I. He died in our place to take the penalty that we deserve for our sin, okay? So some of this prayer, I believe, has already been answered in a way that we can now study and see his history of redemption in a more full way and claim it more fully, all right? Verse 6 is a prayer that you and I believe, and I'm going to try to argue, we don't pray because we don't know we need to. Will you not revive us again. The word there, revive, literally means to restore to fullness of life. I think some people think that Christians talk a lot about being born again, that there's a time when you are born from death to life, and that is true. But I also believe that after so many Christians place their faith in Jesus, they walk away from him, and they need to be revived again. Some of us, in my own life, may not have chosen to walk away blatantly, whatever. I still went to church, whatever, but I've gone through seasons of spiritual dryness. Yeah. And I have needed, will you not revive? Bring us back to fullness of life, spiritual restoration again. Why? That your people may do what? Rejoice in you. Do you know it's impossible? And the world doesn't know this. It's impossible to rejoice in God apart from being alive in Jesus, right? Revive us, he says, that your people may rejoice in you. The world is trying to find happiness in all the wrong places, right? And it can be found and only found if God does a work in their hearts and in my heart for his glory and his good. I do think I want to talk for just a second right now about our country for a moment. This passage is written to the church. But I do believe if God could bring revival in the church, it's going to really help the country. Why? Because we live there, right? Just like I believe if God brought revival in Zambia, it's going to help Zambia. God brought revival in England, it's going to help England. God bring revival in Cuba, it's going to help Cuba. God brings revival in where. So that will help. We were together for a together service at a stadium. Y'all remember this during a few years ago? And Tony Evans, he spoke over us the words, the hope of the country is not in the White House, the hope of the country is in the church house. That's the way he said it. He said it, another way he says it often is, our hope does not ride on Air Force One. That's the way he says it. So if that is true, you know what that means? If God will revive our hearts, we get to, guess what? Bring the life that we now know to the people we're around. And what I'm seeing so often right now that grieves me is so often so many Christians are much more worried about winning arguments than they are about winning people to Jesus, right? And Jesus is the hope of the world, right? Jesus is the hope of the world. And First McKinney, I'm talking to us right now. Will you not revive us again? And our sister church, the bride of Christ, revive us again so that your people may rejoice in who? In you. Show us, Lord, please, your steadfast love, O Lord. And grant us what? Your salvation. Plead with the builder to revive again. A key to revival is realizing our need for revival. We are so blessed to live in McKinney, Texas. I mean, we have incredible schools, one of the safest countries in the United States, but we still fight and hurt each other, don't we? But I think because we get to live in McKinney, Texas, it makes it hard for us at times to recognize how needy we really are. And there are so many of us that go through trying to find joy, which he talked about here and he's going to talk about in a minute, faithfulness, peace, shalom, and all the things the world offers, and it can't be found there. If right now you're in the room and you're wanting hope for tomorrow and strength for today that we just sung about, the only way it can be found is in you crying out to God through his son Jesus Christ to save you, or if you're already saved, revive you again. Y'all with me? Pastor Rosenthal, almost every time I'm around him, he quotes this passage over me, and so I'm going to read it to you. This is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, you see, cry out to God and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, what? Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. The church of Jesus Christ will be healed from the inside out. Blueprint for spiritual renovation. Study the builder's history of restoration. Plead with the builder to revive us again. And then third point here, carefully follow the builder's instructions. Okay. Here we go. I want you to see it. Well, I've messed this up in my life. I've researched to find the right person to help me with the job. And then when I found the right person to help me with the job, I've asked that person to help me with the job. And then when the person has given me the help that they want to offer me with the job, I've went and done what I wanted to do. And it didn't work. All right? So they've studied from, they've seen in the Word of God, he's someone who restores. They've asked him to restore again their life from the inside out. And then verse 8, he says, let me hear what God the Lord will speak. They're going to listen. The word there, hear, it's the word shema. We know it, many Christians, from a famous Hebrew passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The word hear there in the original language carries a little more than our English word hear. It's more like heed. It's listen with the intention of obeying. Okay? Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will watch, speak, what's the word? Peace. That's the word shalom. This is the last word in the Hebrew blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious, and lift up his countenance on you and give you what? Peace. This is calm in the midst of conflict. This is tranquility that's divine in times of turmoil. Shalom in the Bible. It's something above your circumstance that you're trying to find strength for and hope in today. From God. He will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But, there's a but, don't just listen, but let them what? Not turn back to folly. Hear his words and obey his words. Surely his salvation is near to those who do what? Fear him. That's a reverence to the one who is speaking to you that demands respect, and so that you do what the person's instructing you to do. He will not, is it surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. I had a man who mentored and discipled me, and again, in my own heart and life, when I've experienced revival is when I have opened this book in a new and unique way and started to really, through the Holy Spirit, let it speak into me and me cry out to God and say, God, help, do that in my life. And then obey it. And this man who was discipling me at the time, he said, Sam, the Bible is the Word of God. The power of God is released in your life when you apply it. And I think so often me, maybe you've experienced this, you can hear a lot about the Bible and not try to seek to apply the Bible, if you want to experience revival, and this is true, again, revival history, the people who've experienced revival in their lands have studied the Word of God and seen His history of redemption. They've cried out to God in prayer for Him to revive them again, and then they have repented of their sins and they have sought through the power of the Holy Spirit, they can't do it on their own, to follow Him in obedience. And God has brought revival. Watch the promises now that pour out after these three steps in the lives of His people. Verse 10, steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Great is His faithfulness, right? His steadfast love, His faithfulness, they meet. Righteousness and peace do what? Kiss each other. Y'all ever been to a wedding? So many of you have, right? Everyone looks forward to that moment where it's like, you may kiss your bride. And then they turn and it's like, wah. You know that God is after His people in this great divine romance. He loves you. His Son loves you. And He wants to offer you revival, new life in Christ as you enter into a relationship with Him that is alive and active, His righteousness and peace. Kiss each other. The word there, peace, again, shalom. Faithfulness springs up from the ground and righteousness looks down from the sky. Great is His faithfulness. Yes, the Lord will give what is good and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before Him and make His footsteps a way. Do you see the beautiful promises? If you're crying out, God, I need strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. You see it there? Steadfast love, faithfulness, peace, righteousness. Verse 12. I'm going to hold for a second. I'm going to tell you about verse 12 in a second. I'm going to go back to the outline and say, hey, which one of these things for you this week could you apply? First Family, the McKinney First, I love that this man is going to step up in just a few minutes and preach revival over us. I know his heart is very similar. This is a word written to a group of people. There's a verse that talks about individuals. Individuals can start revival when they're part of a family by studying the builder's history of renovation, pleading with the builder to revive again, and carefully following the builder. I think if you leave any of those three out, it's going to be trouble. Which one for you? Can you stop just a moment and make note? Which one for you? Could you say, God, help me with this right now? It's not you that can revive. You cannot choose to make yourself alive. That's why they cry out to Him to ask. Which one is it for you? And then what would it look like for you this week to say, hey, I'm gonna be intentional. I'm gonna be intentional about stopping and saying, God, help me with this step. Maybe it's just you needing to ask Him to help revive me again. Study the builder's history, plead with the builder to revive again, carefully follow the builder's instruction. Okay, so now I'm gonna tell you about verse 12. And then we're going to apply one of the points in the room. So my wife and I got married. I can't believe she's going to be sitting right over here with us in just the next hour. She's excited to hear from Pastor Lewis. It's wonderful to be a pastor's wife, but it's also hard at times, I know. Oh, she's giving a thumbs up. Okay. Yeah. And when we got married, we were living in an apartment, and it was wonderful, and then times, ups and downs. If you're in our church, you've heard about that, the things God has taught us about marriage. And then we had people speaking into us that you need to try to move out of rent if you can, buy a house, and we were struggling, figuring out, what does that look like? And we looked at houses in our little Columbus, Texas, where we were, and we couldn't afford a house in Columbus. No one can in McKinney anymore, for the record. That's like off the table. So we were trying to figure out, and we couldn't find one, and so we had looked at this little piece, literally little piece of dirt outside of Columbus, Texas, and we were going to do a one-time close on a mortgage to try to do a little construction on this. So we had the reason it came to my mind this week is we had studied the builder's history of renovation. We had talked to different ones. We didn't plead with the builder because there were different ones that could build. There's only one that can do this work in our lives, right? And as the builder started giving us instructions, we're like, hey, which one of the things can I do so we don't have to pay you to do any of them, right? We were working through that. As soon as the house was complete, my wife came to me and she said, Sam, I'm realizing this is not supposed to be about a building for our family. I believe God wants to do something in this place like a sanctuary for people. And I was like, that's beautiful. And the verse that God had given her was this verse, verse 12 of Psalm 85. She said, yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. And she got that verse and she put it on a board and then got the painted the board, and it was kind of three-dimensional. She put it on like with paper letters on the board and then put it up. And I would look at this verse, the Lord will give what is good and our land will yield its increase. And I was like, man, yeah, I want that. That'd be awesome, right? Give what is good, God. I want what is good. And it took me a while to actually go and read the passage. And I realized that that's a response, again, the work of God as a promise in response to the people studying the history of restoration, pleading with the builder to revive them again, and carefully following the builder's instructions. And so we ask, what would that look like in our lives? The question I just ask for you to ask yourself. So here's what I want to do. They stood with the reading of Scripture. I'm not going to necessarily ask you to do that right now, but I am going to ask you to genuinely pray the words that are a request from this passage out loud together. And so I'm going to put verses 4-7 on the screen, and then Pastor Rosenthal is going to invite you into an invitation response. But these verses on the screen are a prayer. And I want you to think about the words that you're praying, and I want us to pray these words together right now. So read it with me. Restore us again, O God of our salvation.
Thank God for an awesome, exegetically sound review of verses 1-13. Sam has shared from his heart what God gave him for this passage. Question now is, what's your response to it? If you are here today, and if you do not know Jesus the Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a one-prong invitation today. Two different churches are here today. We're not asking you per se today to join a particular church house. We want you to join the body of Christ. We want you to say yes to Jesus. If a casket was right here, right now, and you were in that casket, are you 100% sure that your soul would have left that body and is in the presence of the Lord? Is there one in the house today that want to give their life to Christ? We have ministers and faith counselors here right now, available right now, to help walk you through what we call the Romans Road to Salvation. And being saved is really as simple as ABC. A, you admit that you are a sinner. And guess what? When you do that, you would be joining the ranks of all of humanity, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then there's something you got to believe. You got to believe that Jesus is Lord. Jesus died for your sins. And that he was buried. But he rose again on the third day, and he's right now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Is there one who don't know him today? You can get it right. And then C, you commit yourself to a Bible teaching, preaching church. C, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 10 and 9 affirms you shall be saved. There's no guesswork about it. If you are here today, if you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, don't worry about what your friends may say. Don't worry about what somebody else may say. Neither of us know if we leave this church house today, if an accident is awaiting us. But the one thing you can know, if you aren't sure about Jesus as being your Lord and Savior, you can get that right so that when and or if some tragedy comes upon you, you can have the security of knowing I am saved. Is there one? Is there one? It is ours to extend. It is yours to accept or to reject. Thank you, my brother and my sisters. Let's give the messenger and the message another hand. Oh, come on, you can do better than this. This is your pastor. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Sam, come join me. Praise the Lord.
Y'all are gracious. Thank you so much for being part with us today. And again, if you would like to hear Pastor Lewis teach the passage he's going to be teaching next hour as we jump into this second hour of worship, I want to invite you all to stand with us. Pastor Lewis and I are going to be out the door to your left in our Welcome Center. We also have our Next Steps team that's there. If you feel led to respond today and would like to talk to someone over there, you can do it that way. You could also text the word talk online if you would like to have a conversation today with us. We would love to do that.
Amen. Amen. Let's don't let this stop today. Yeah. Let's make certain today, while you're here today, go up to at least four or five people that you don't know. Yeah. Introduce yourself to them, starting with some that might be right near you.
Yeah.
Let's have wonderful fellowship after we give the benediction that I will pray in one quick second. But let us make certain that we share with one another, that we introduce ourselves to one another. We want this to be something that is ongoing. Well, really, it is ongoing.
Right.
We just want to take it to another level. If you would, bow your heads. Father God, right now, as we close out this worship service and prepare ourselves for the second worship service, we bless your holy and righteous name. We thank you for the word that you've given Pastor Sam Holm to share today, Lord. We pray that you will allow it to just sit in the recesses of our heart and our mind so that as the Holy Spirit move on us, that you will bring back to our memory that which we need to further address with you. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever.
Amen.
Everybody that loves Jesus, shout out amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for worship online. If you're in our area, we want to invite you to come to physically connect to your local church. We would love to help you to live and love like Jesus alongside of others who are doing the same. If you're from outside of our area, can I challenge you to find a local church in your area that's going to preach the Bible and exalt Jesus? Smash the like button, subscribe, share with friends, and turn on notifications if you'd like to stay up to date with us. And thanks again for joining us.